Stock markets have seen record highs in the past couple of months. Is it a good time to take profits? Hi, I'm Rob West. Well, it certainly can be a good time to take profits if you've seen your investments go through the roof recently. And today I want to tell you about a way to realize those gains for God's kingdom. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Okay, with the recent historic highs in the markets, it's a great time to think about giving appreciated stocks to your church or other ministries you're passionate about. Donating stock instead of cash to qualifying organizations can greatly benefit both the donor and recipient. Of course, not all ministries are prepared to accept stock gifts, but there's an easy solution for that problem, and I'll tell you about that in just a little bit. Rest assured, most organizations that are equipped for stock donations will quickly liquidate the donation, turning it into cash. Now, why give stocks, especially appreciated ones, to a ministry instead of cash? Well, it usually allows you to give more because the gift is tax deductible and you won't have to pay capital gains tax. It's usually, but not always, the best way to make your gift. If the stock you want to donate has appreciated in value, making a direct gift to a charity or your church is best. If you've lost money on the stock, it's best to sell it, take the loss, which is deductible, and then donate the cash proceeds from the sale. Let's take a closer look at the tax benefits of donating stock. Depending on the type of organization you're giving to and your adjusted gross income, a portion of the donation will be deductible on your taxes. Again, if the stock you want to donate has increased in value, as so many have lately, you won't have to pay capital gains taxes if you donate the stock. However, it's important to wait at least a year after purchasing a stock before donating it. That way, you can use its fair market value as an itemized deduction. And since you'll pay less taxes, you can give more to your church or other ministries. Here's an example of how this works. Let's say a couple of years ago, you bought 50 shares of Mach Industries. You paid $20 a share and your total cost was $1,000. But the value has shot up since then to $40 a share. So your investment is now worth $2,000. Yes, it happens. If you sell those shares thinking you'll donate the after-tax proceeds to your church, you'll have to pay capital gains taxes. Under the top long-term rate of 20%, it would work out like this. $2,000, the current value of the stock, minus the basis or original cost basis of $1,000 is $1,000. Now, subtract 20% for capital gains taxes, and it leaves you with $1,800 that you can donate to your church. But if you donate the stock directly to your church or other ministry, they would net the full $2,000 value, and you could deduct that amount, again, with some restrictions. Now, as I mentioned earlier, there is a potential problem with directly donating stocks. Some churches or ministries may not be set up to receive non-cash gifts. They may ask that you sell the stock first and then donate the proceeds. We've already gone over why that's not the most efficient way to give. You can solve this problem by bringing in a third party, such as the National Christian Foundation, to handle your donations. And there are many advantages to this. The first is that it gives you even more flexibility for avoiding taxes. You can set up a donor-advised fund at NCF, which they call a giving fund. It's been likened to a charitable checking account. You put cash, stocks, or other assets into your giving fund at NCF. They liquidate and distribute those assets in cash form to the ministries of your choice. In the case of donated stocks, NCF will sell them and do all the paperwork. Now, you've probably been thinking all along, hey, this is great, but I can't donate enough in stocks in any given year to get past the standard deduction. And for 2024, the standard deduction is $14,600 for single taxpayers and $29,200 for married taxpayers filing jointly. Those are big hurdles. But with a giving fund at the National Christian Foundation, you can bundle your deductions and add up to more than the standard deduction in a given year. Now, various rules limit the deductions you can take for a stock donation, so be sure to check with your tax professional. All right, your calls are next. The number, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. And if you prefer not to call, keep in mind, you can always send us an email at askrob@faithfi.com. We'll be right back on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Don't go anywhere.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. If you were to take a survey and ask if there is only one true God, most people, at least in North America, would probably say no. There are a variety of gods, little g, and people can choose whichever one fits their tastes best. But when the Lord presented the Ten Commandments to Moses and Israel, he rejected all such ideas. The first commandment says, "You shall have no other gods before me." Scripture tells us that the Lord is not just one acceptable God among many, but the only God who deserves our worship. It may not be politically correct, but it's true. And this is the God of the Bible. Get more daily encouragement with Anchor Devotional. Try it out today. Visit getanchor.com.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
To sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and to share the good news of Jesus Christ. That is the mission of the Christian Worldview Radio program. I'm host David Wheaton, inviting you to join us this Saturday morning at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, as we discuss all matters of life and faith from a decidedly biblical perspective. The Christian Worldview, Saturday mornings at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, right here on American Family Radio.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. The calls are coming in, but we've got a few lines open. Whatever your financial questions are today, we'd love to tackle them with you. You can call right now at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Autumn is our call screener today, and looking forward to taking your calls. We'll try to get you on the air quickly. Again, 800-525-7000. Before we dive into those questions today, in the news today, here's the question. Are payday or paycheck advance programs by employers just another form of those infamous payday loans? Well, the CFPB thinks so. That's the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, and it's going after them. The program, sometimes called Earned Wage Access, are popular among workers and allow them to get funds from their next paycheck, often by paying a fee. Now, the CFPB is proposing a new rule that would designate these programs, both those offered directly by employers and those accessing them through apps, as consumer loans that should be subject to the Truth in Lending Act. At least 7 million workers borrowed a total of, listen to this, $22 billion from their wages before payday in 2022, the most recent year that the data is available. How much are workers paying to get that money early? Well, the CFPB says a typical annual interest rate is almost 110%. But another survey by the California Department of Financial Protection conducted in 2023 found that the average user was actually paying 330% when you analyze it. Now, that certainly does sound like one of those notorious payday loans you can get on the street. You don't want to take out either one of those, and the way to do that is to get on a budget that gives you margin or excess funds each pay period to put in your emergency fund, and then you won't need to borrow to get to the next payday. If you need help with that, we'd love for you to download the FaithFi app at faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. The app will help you set up that budget that you need and track your expenses. You can even assign a specific income amount to specific envelopes. So keep in mind, we're not actually moving money anywhere. It's all done just in the app for your knowledge and helpful insight. But what you would do is you'd actually say, okay, I'm going to get X dollars in this paycheck on this date, and I want to go ahead and allocate that to specific envelopes so you can decide in advance which envelopes to fund and how you're going to pay bills from each check, which just makes sure that you have the money you need to cover the bills, because you're actually going through every bill and saying, all right, this check's going to cover that, this check's going to cover this. And the idea is hopefully between now and the place where you've got margin, maybe even 1 month's cushion there in your operating account, you can get to a place where you don't need anything close to a payday loan. Again, to check it out, just head to our website, faithfi.com. All right, we're going to dive in today, and we're going to begin in Maine with Patty. You can go right ahead.
Yes, hi. Yes,
hi there.
Hi. Good morning.
How can I help?
Call. Yes, my question is that I have a property that I will be selling. And it's a home that was from my divorce settlement. And I was just wondering, what is the amount that should be tithed from that sale of that property?
Yeah, it's a great question, Patty. So, you know, I love the fact that you want to honor the Lord by tithing on the sale of your home. Whenever we're talking about a tithe, we're talking about the increase. And so the question is, what is the increase when we're selling any asset, including a home? And it's a fairly easy calculation. Essentially, what you would do is you would take the original purchase price, so whatever you all paid for it originally, and then any improvements you made to the property. Now, this is not just regular maintenance when, you know, the roof wears out and you have to replace it, or the AC goes out and you have to replace that, but anything that enhanced the value of the property, adding a deck, finishing a basement, things like that, there are improvements. And then any costs associated with selling the property, so real estate agent fees, attorney's fees, those kinds of things. Though all of the total of those three, the original purchase price, the improvements, and any costs related to selling, would be subtracted from the selling price. So whatever that total number is, you would take the sales price that, you know, when it's liquidated, when it's sold, and subtract those three that I just mentioned, and whatever is left over is your increase. And then the word tithe means a tenth, and so you would take a tenth of that amount. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense, yes.
Yeah, okay. And obviously, if you're sharing that, then you would take the increase on your portion of it. If through the divorce settlement you got the entire home, well then, you know, 100% of the increase you would tithe on after you make that calculation.
Okay.
All right.
Great information. I appreciate you
happy
helping
to
me
do
out
it.
With that.
No problem, Patty. Yeah, thank you. You too, and thanks for your call today. We appreciate it. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Let's go to Ohio. Hi, Minnie. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. I'm so grateful.
Sure.
My mom bought a mobile home for $30,000, And then later she put it on a piece of property. She sank $100,000 just to put things on the property. And so the water system and the septic system and then a pond and everything, the pad and everything. So it wound up being $106,000. I just had it appraised last year. They appraised the whole property for $30,000. What do I do?
Yeah. Wow.
And I have another question too after this.
Okay, no problem. So is your mom still living?
No, she passed. She passed
away.
Okay.
Okay. So you've inherited this. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And do you have any intention to use it?
I want to. I'm living in it now. I've been living in it with her. I took care of it for 17 years. But I want to sell it and move back to Texas. But I have to have something to start over with. So I shocked. $30,000, it really shocks me because you can't start over with that.
Yeah. No,
and she's got $100,000 sank in here. I feel like she just threw it in the toilet.
Yeah. Boy, I'm so sorry to hear that, Minnie. And I know how challenging it is in this environment right now because we've got two things working against us related to home affordability. One is just the housing prices nationwide are just up dramatically. And then we've got these high interest rates on top of it if you're looking to borrow and take on a mortgage. So I think the key is, just like any financial decision, we need to kind of work through that plan. And it starts with our income and expenses. And so, you know, just as a good rule of thumb, typically what you would try to aim for would be, number one, a 20% down payment on whatever you're trying to purchase. And then two, the resulting mortgage payment after you put the 20% down and borrow 80%, you would want to try to keep within 25 to 30% of your take home pay. Now, I realize that's really challenging to do. Number one, it might take you some time to kind of build off of that $30,000 to get up to what would be 20% of what you could buy when you move, you know, that would be in a location that you feel good about and safe and kind of in the part of town you want to be in, but also give you something that, you know, you're able to live in. And then I think secondly is just that mortgage payment. And, you know, there's plenty of mortgage calculators out there that could help you calculate this, but whatever the remaining amount is, we run that in at today's current interest rates and just see if we can make that fit into the budget. And that's where that 25 to 30% comes in. So I think, you know, after you run all of those numbers and put that in with your budget and your spending plan, then we can kind of forecast out, okay, how long do I need to stay put and what am I working toward? Let's talk more off the air. I'll be right back.
Join us for the second annual AFA at the Arc.
Myself and Tony Ventagliano, his family and my family and several of the other staff members at AFA.
Tickets include transportation from the hotel to the museums, both tours, and special presentations by Answers in Genesis speakers. AFA has reserved a block of rooms at a discounted price with the Marriott Cincinnati Airport Hotel. To register, go to afa.net/events and join us for AFA at the Arc.
FaithFi is grateful for support from OneAscent. OneAscent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. OneAscent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good, to explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values. More information is available at OneAscent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
When you see trash in the media, submit it to 1millionmoms.com. Over the years, 1 million moms and our partners have improved advertising choices of programmers and content seen on TV. Just like you, 1 million moms want to protect little eyes and ears from the trash that could hurt them. So when you see trash in the media, visit 1millionmoms.com. Scroll down and look for the Submit Trash button.
Take it away!
1millionmoms.com.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
For over 40 years, American Family Association has stood for righteousness and God's truth in our nation.
American Family Association Executive Vice President, Ed Vitagliano.
One important way you can join us in the battle is through a charitable gift annuity with the AFA Foundation. The charitable gift annuity benefits you, and it benefits the culture-transforming work of American Family Association.
Phone 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Frustrated by your health insurance? Confused by the network restrictions and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high cost of healthcare. Take back control of your healthcare with the ability to choose a provider you trust with no network restrictions and savings of up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio, where we apply the wisdom from God's Word to your financial decisions and choices. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls today at 800-525-7000. Looks like we have just a couple of lines open, but if you have a financial question, we'd love to tackle it with you. You can call right now. Before the break, we were talking to Minnie in Ohio. She's living in a mobile home that she inherited from her mom. She's realizing now that her mom has passed and she's looking at potentially selling that it's worth far less than she imagined, just given how much her mom invested in the property. Nevertheless, she wants to take that and redeploy it, perhaps in another piece of land. And actually, she has the know-how to construct a log cabin on that property, which it looks like she's going to move toward. But Minnie, I know you had a second question. Go ahead with that.
Yes, somebody blew up my truck. I had a mechanic looking at fixing my truck, and he fixed it, but his roommate blew it up. So he drove it without oil in it and just sick about it.
Oh,
I gave
no.
him money for oil. He didn't put anything in there. So somebody just gave me a car, but it's got 252,000 miles. And I talked to the mechanic. We just got it, and mechanic said it's going to cost $3,500 to fix it, and I just don't have it, and I don't know what to do. Is this going to be a money pit that I, you know, if I, everything is wrong with this car, everything.
Yeah.
It's like rebuilding the car. But if I fix that car, which is going to take me a long time to get that kind of money because I'm not making a lot right now. I'm a disability right now. Am I going to have everything else fall apart on me because everything has that many miles on it too?
Yeah. Well, you know, I think you're asking the right question here, just because, I mean, obviously I know very little about it other than what you just described, but given the fact that you said everything is wrong with it, combined with the high mileage, you know, that is a telltale sign for, you know, it being a money pit, that you are pouring a significant amount of money potentially, which you don't have today, and you could obviously try to save up for it. But, you know, for you to put $3,500 into a car that, you know, that may just be the tip of the iceberg. And I think there are times where we say a car is not worth investing in, and this might be that case. The question then is, okay, what is plan B? Obviously, it's a really difficult situation you find yourself in, given what was done with the car that you did have that was in working order. Is that person going to help you make this whole? Is there any kind of remedy there?
Oh no, he just ran off. He ruined it. He's done it. He's done nothing to try to fix this car. He's
okay.
done nothing. He blew it up, and he goes, "You're blaming me for this?" I'm going, "Well, you drove my truck."
Yeah, right. That seems pretty obvious. I mean, the rule of thumb there, Minnie, is that when vehicle repairs exceed 50% of its current value, it's not worth it. And I would think that this car, just based on the way you're describing, is not worth $7,000. And $3,500 may not even be the extent of the repairs. That may just be the initial first pass. So I would say we move on. The question is, where do you go from here? And I think the key is, again, going to come back to that budget. What can you do despite your limited fixed income to eliminate any unnecessary spending? I mean, we could look at the budget and say, okay, you know, as long as I've got a roof over my head, which you do, you know, gas in the car to get to work, or if you can't work because you're on disability, then that one's off the table. Food and utilities, everything else is, you know, negotiable, so to speak. And where can we cut so that you can even save, you know, $50 a month or whatever it is to start working toward building up a little bit of a nest egg, where maybe that plus a very small, you know, auto loan, even though I understand you want to be debt free, and if that's your conviction, great. but you need to be able to get around. So I think, you know, my best advice is probably just based on what you're describing and the rules of thumb, we would likely not want you to sink $3,500 into this, but then we need to go to plan B. The last thing I'll mention is maybe make your church family aware of this. Who knows? You know, somebody may have an extra car they'd be willing to let you use or donate to you or something like that. So, you know, it's that might be a next step for you. And then finally, don't miss inviting the Lord into this, and let's just see how he even provides miraculously. But we appreciate you being on the program today. I realize you have some challenges ahead, but the Lord can be trusted, and he is our provider, and we can certainly rest in that. God bless you. Let's go to Kentucky. Hi, Elijah. How can I help you?
Good morning, Rob. May I give your screener a compliment?
Absolutely. We'll take that.
Excellent. Excellent service, and you provide excellent wise service, sir.
Well, thank you. Autumn is doing a fabulous job today, but I appreciate you calling that out. How can I serve you?
Yes, sir. I am about to put money in a long-term CD, Rob, for 5 years. The bank going to pay me 4.75% interest, compound daily. I do not need the money. What are your thoughts on that, sir?
I like that a lot. I mean, it's very uncommon to hear of a five-year CD anywhere close to 5% today, just because, you know, given the fact that rates are coming down, you know, the rates on these CDs have been falling. You know, you can definitely get 4, 4.25, even 4.5, but to get 4.75 for 5 years is tremendous. And this, of course, is a bank with FDIC insurance. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I like that a lot. And I think the only question when we're talking about a 5-year lockup is just make sure you have enough liquidity for the unexpected. Do you have funds separate from this equal to at least 3 to 6 months worth of expenses?
I do. I have emergency fund for 1 year.
Okay, great. Yeah. And then what other assets do you have? Do you have money in the market or anything else?
Yes, sir. I do have money in the market. I was going to ask you the following question, if I may.
Sure, go ahead.
Every 4 months, I take 30% of my gain regarding my stock, and I convert them to cash. What are your thoughts on that?
What type of account is it? Is it a retirement account or a taxable account?
Actually, it's a taxable account.
Okay. So you, yeah, I mean, I think that would be the only question is, by liquidating those gains, you're realizing the tax on that versus just letting those grow. You know, the kind of one of the old adages related to investing is you cut your losses and you let your profits run. And essentially, you're precluding yourself from letting those profits run because you're selling them in order to realize the 30%. Now, I kind of like the idea of taking some money off the table periodically, but that would be the only thing is I would just give a hard look to, is this something I truly want to sell? Does it have more long-term growth potential? And in some cases, should I leave it alone? Let's talk a bit more off the air. I'll be right back. 19. That's how many pairs of shoes the average American has in their closet. 1. That's how many pairs of shoes it takes to share health, education, opportunity, and the love of Christ to a child in need in the world. You can play a part in changing the life of a child today through Buckner Shoes for Orphan Souls. Visit giveshoestoday.org and find out how you can provide shoes for a child in need. That's giveshoestoday.org.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
You look at 3 of the 4 justices there in Colorado that voted to remove him from the ballot. They all came from Ivy League schools, schools that had been created as divinity schools. What a picture of the apostasy in America when it comes to the church.
Stay informed with Tony Perkins and his guests on Washington Watch, weekdays at 4 p.m. Central on AFR, or catch up anytime with the podcast at AFR.net.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
If you enjoy this radio program, you're going to love all of the many different resources waiting for you at faithfi.com. You'll find more powerful wisdom, podcasts, articles, videos, and more from partners like the National Christian Foundation, Sound Mind Investing, and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Connect with the community of thousands of Christians striving to be good and faithful stewards, and check out all of the free biblical financial advice at faithfi.com.
Thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will ever feel whole again. There is hope and healing from a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. Your call is confidential, and we will help you find healing. 866-482-LIFE.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here at American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We've got a few lines open today. We'd love to hear from you. If you have financial questions, we'd love to run that through the lens of Scripture. Everything we do here is rooted in biblical wisdom. You can call right now at 800-525-7000. We'll go right back to the phones. Let's head out to Texas. Hi, Mary. How can I help you?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a small inheritance coming of $40,000, and I am trying to decide, do I want to invest that into a rental property, like a three-bedroom home, residential home, or do I want to just drop it into a mutual fund? I found that FXAIX with Fidelity is a really low expense ratio and highly rated fund. Mm. So I'm just trying to get the best return on my investment.
Yeah. Well, I think either can do very well. Obviously, we like properly diversified stock and bond investing. We also like real estate as an asset class, and both can work really well. A lot of folks have made a lot of money in both. I think the question is just what is the best fit for you, and that comes down to both the financial side as well as the non-financial side. So the nice thing about, putting it into a high-quality, low-cost, you're talking about an index, in this case, the Fidelity 500, and that's a very easy way to go in the sense that it's a passive investment where you can just drop it in and take a long view, which is always the approach we should take when it comes to, stock and bond investing. The other is through real estate, which is not quite as passive by any means, nevertheless, still a great way to build wealth. And there are some opportunities where, you can depreciate the property for tax purposes, and you can deduct the maintenance costs. You could develop an income stream from it while also hopefully over time seeing the property appreciate in value. I think the big question there is always, do you have the time and temperament to be a landlord? It's not just about collecting the rent checks. You have to find and screen tenants and maintain the property, and you might need to take a late night call about a leaky pipe or a broken air conditioner if you don't have a property manager. And if you do, that could chew up, as much as 10% of your income stream. And then if you need to take on debt, because it sounds like you're going to have $40,000. I can't imagine you're buying a single family home for $40,000. So you're just going to have to factor in the higher, carrying costs right now, just given interest rates. So maybe we start there and just kind of give me your thoughts on that to see if that is still a viable option or whether the passive investment approach, which again is still a very good way to go in terms of building long-term wealth, it's quite different, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So the reason I'm thinking of the rental property is because I already own a home and I own a large piece of land, and I'll be building a second home on that land, and I was planning on renting out the original home. So there was going to be one rental property already.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I was thinking of having a second rental property, and I have about 20 years before I retire.
Okay. And so what would you be looking to spend, just as you've thought about this? Maybe you've looked around a little bit in certain areas where you might want to have the rental property. What do you think your budget for this
would be? In my area, I can find a 3-bedroom home for about $150,000.
Okay.
And so yeah. 20% down, or yeah, 20% down, $30,000. So I'd have a little extra, just in case for whatever the property taxes that are going to come up at closing, or, you know,
So there's going to be some expenses, no doubt. So, I mean, at the current interest rates, you're talking about a monthly payment of around $700 a month. If you had about $100,000 mortgage, you know, if you factor in property taxes and homeowners, in the state of Texas, you know, you're probably looking at, instead of 700, maybe something closer to 900, 875 a month. Have you looked at, with that type of property, what kind of rent you could throw off?
Yeah, they're renting somewhere between $1,200 and $1,500.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, if you could do that, obviously, let's say you spent $900 a month for homeowners, property taxes, and the mortgage, and, you know, then you're going to want to put a little aside for maintenance and upkeep. But if you could clear somewhere between $200 and $500 a month, you know, that sounds like a workable plan. I think then the only other question is just let's play out the worst case scenario, where we get into a deeper than expected recession over the next couple of years. Maybe you aren't able to rent it for either as much, or maybe you go a period of time without a renter. Are you able to carry that on your own without the income, or would that create a burden for you?
No, I can carry that without a problem.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, it sounds like as long as you can check all the financial boxes, and to your point, you're already planning on becoming a landlord. And so there's some economies of scale there, where you're managing two properties and you've still got good energy. You got 20 years left. I mean, is this a great place to build wealth? I think it could be. And to the extent you're funding retirement accounts at work or some other way in the market, I kind of like the idea that you're diversifying among asset classes. Do you have retirement accounts in the stock market currently?
I do. I have a Roth and a traditional. I also have a 401k at work.
Okay, great. Yeah, I mean, so I'm on board with this. I mean, I think you've thought through it. It sounds like you've got the financial wherewithal to do it. You were already planning on doing it with your existing primary residence. And what a great way to take this blessing of an inheritance and redeploy it into something that not only is going to provide a modest income stream for you now, but is going to be used through the rental to pay the debt and eventually have an asset, hopefully free and clear, that's appreciating. So I think it checks all the boxes, Mary, in my mind.
Okay. Thank you very much for your help. I appreciate
that. All right. You're welcome. Lord bless you. Thanks for being on the program today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Let's head, we'll stay in Texas and talk to Edward. Go ahead.
Yes. Hi. Two quick related questions on insurance. Let me give you a little background. A few months ago, I got my new auto insurance with the same vehicles that aren't new, and they increased a couple $100s. But my real concern is my new homeowners went from $1,300 to about $2,000. But my main question is, I've heard a couple insurance companies advertise if you're over 50, they give free auto insurance. I wanted to get your take on that.
Yeah, so they're offering free auto insurance over the age of 50. Is that what you said?
Yeah, it's on the internet. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not aware of that, and I would be quite suspect about that, just because auto insurance rates have been going up pretty dramatically, and there's a real cost to them insuring your car. I mean, is this an incentive to get you to bring other types of business in, where through a bundled option, they're going to throw in the insurance? I mean, even then, I wouldn't expect that would be possible. But what are the other details of the offer?
Oh, that's all I know so far. But yeah. I wanted to ask you about the increase on the homeowners. Okay. From 1300 is an annual fee, 1300 to 2000.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, in the homeowners insurance increases have been pretty dramatic, and it's just running in parallel to the dramatic rise we've seen in home prices right now. So the average annual increase was about 6%. Sounds like yours is quite a bit more than that, and some states have been far more dramatic. So I don't love it, but it's not unexpected, and we're seeing it across the board, Edward. God bless you. Thanks for your call. We'll be right back.
Today's issues.
At the bottom of the hour, Jenna Ellis will be with us, host of the Jenna Ellis in the Morning program. And then Dr. Alex McFarland, co-host of Exploring the Word, will be with us at 10:45. So I'm just saying, if Tim and Ed...
Don't cut it.
Don't cut it. That we've invited guests on this hour so that you can listen to them.
That's right.
Today's issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
In a hard-to-reach jungle in New Guinea, two tribes were at war. To stop the bloodshed, a peace child was given. Steve Richardson was there, and God used his parents to reach these tribes with the gospel. I'm David Wolin. Join me and Steve Richardson on the next Haven Today series, Peace is a Person.
Haven Today, weekday mornings at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio. Listen online at AFR.net.
As a faithful listener of the Faith and Finance program, you know that there is life-changing financial wisdom in God's Word to meet all your needs. More than anything, FaithFi is here to help you and millions of others see God as your ultimate treasure. As a nonprofit, we're grateful for our partners that help expand our outreach every month with their generosity. Has God provided financial answers for you through this ministry? Please consider becoming a monthly partner by visiting faithfi.com and clicking Give.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Here in our final segment, we may have room for one more question. 800-525-7000. We already have several folks holding. Let's go to Louisiana and welcome Loretta to the broadcast. Hi there. Loretta, are you with us?
Yes. Good morning. Thank you.
Hi, good morning. You're welcome. How can I help you?
So, I'm a grandmother, and I have an 18-year-old grandson, and I am trying to get him started in investing. So I'm looking into maybe gifting him a stock like Apple or Walmart or something of that sort. Still want to be biblically responsible as well, so needing some guidance on that.
Yeah. Well, first of all, you sound like a wonderful grandmother. I love that you're trying to set him up with something that could be really helpful for him down the road. Secondly, beginning to teach and model the importance of taking a long-term perspective and setting money aside to grow it and build wealth and not consume everything that we have today, the importance and value in saving. You can absolutely do that. You can give your grandson up to $18,000 every year, at least based on the current 2024 numbers. It changes each year. It generally goes up slightly, but this year it's $18,000. And you can do that without having to file an IRS gift tax form. It's form 709. Now, if you go over $18,000, you can still do it, and there is no taxes. You would just have to file the form, because anything beyond $18,000 this year is going to chip away at your lifetime gift exemption, which happens to be over $13 million. So unless you're going to do a lot of giving, you don't really have to worry about ever getting anywhere close to that lifetime exemption, but you're going to need to let the IRS know you did it. But if it's $18,000 or less, you're good to go. Now, In terms of how to go about that, I think there's a couple of thoughts here. Number one is, does he have any earned income? Is he working?
He is not. He
okay.
is enrolled in school.
Okay, got it. Yeah, because if he had earned income, you could have him open up a Roth IRA and have him take $7,000 of it and stick it in there, and then it would grow tax-free. But in terms of how to go about that, apart from the fact that you can do $18,000 a year, you can absolutely transfer an individual investment, be it a stock or a mutual fund. Now, given that you said you would like to be biblically responsible and have it have a faith-based approach, that on top of the fact that I would rather show him, even in these early years, the importance of being properly diversified, I would probably not be in favor as much in you selecting an individual stock and giving him that, namely because then we're just highly concentrated and it's going to create more risk, because if that particular company, be it Apple or any other, has a bad quarter or their particular sector of the economy was out of favor, and Apple specifically, I'm not going to comment on whether I think it's a good or bad buy right now, but I will just say that category of high-tech or technology growth companies have been doing incredibly well. And it could stand a reason that they would become out of favor. In fact, they have just over the last couple of months. But the problem with owning one company is you've just got so much at risk without how that company and that sector of the market or the economy performs. So instead of that, one option might be you'd buy some shares of a faith-based investing mutual fund and then gift that to him. And that would do two things. One is it would have him very widely diversified, because instead of owning one company with the same amount of money, he might own hundreds of companies. And second, you could reinforce the idea that all the companies that were selected have been screened for values alignment as a Christian. And I think that would go a long way toward helping him understand that that's an option. So let me make a suggestion. There's a great resource that's available from our friends at the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. You'll find it, Loretta, at faithandinvesting.com/faithfi. So go to faithandinvesting.com/faithfi. And what you will see there is a free resource that you can download that has a listing of all of the faith-based investing mutual funds and ETFs. And I would say any of those on that list would be great candidates for you to buy into and then transfer to your grandson. I think the only remaining question would be, do you want to open an account in his name or do you want to open it in yours? And I think, you know, given what you're trying to do here, you're probably going to want to go ahead and give it to him. But when you give it to him, just kind of express your desires for how he thinks about it. I mean, you know, would you be disappointed if the day after he got it, he sold it and used the money to buy a car? If so, you might want to tell him that, you know, that this is for you to hang on to and use down the road, just so there's an alignment of expectations. But does all that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense. We've actually had that discussion about what I think about it and what I wanted him to do with it.
Good.
And of course, as an 18-year-old, he thought, nah, I'll just get the money for it. You know, so hopefully me and his parents would kind of guide him down that
yeah.
path.
Yeah, very yeah. good. Well, listen, Loretta, you sound like, again, a wonderful grandmother. Hopefully that resource will be helpful to you. But I think you buying the shares of one of these faith-based investing funds, making that gift, hopefully he honors that, and this is something that's a real blessing to him down the road. Thanks for calling today. We appreciate you being on the program. Let's head to Mississippi. Estelinda, how can I serve you?
Thank you. Appreciate you. Yes, as I told that young lady, I have left a job that's going on 2 years, and I left a little change in my 401k, and it's just hanging somewhere. And the company that I work for under, they left too, so they're no longer there. So my little change is somewhere, in my Cuesta because they want me to take it out so they can, you know, clean out whatever left. So I'm one of the one that left. My question, help me how to guide me, how to get it out. Should I just transfer it to a personal bank or should I put somewhere, I'll just say 401, I mean, Roth?
Yeah. It's a great question, Estelinda. I think you're wise in that you do want to move it out of there, but before you start the process, you do want to decide where it's going, and that's going to be largely driven by what you want to do with it. Do you imagine this staying invested? And if so, are you wanting to take a long-term approach and invest in stocks and bonds that are appropriate for your age? So largely bonds, maybe with a little bit of stocks, perhaps through a mutual fund or mutual funds, or are you wanting to put it in bank products like CDs, certificate of deposits that are very, you know, very low risk, or are you wanting to just withdraw it and use the money in some other way? What sounds like that's, you know, which scenario is most aligned with what you're hoping to do?
Okay. Like I said, I'm 65.
Yeah.
And I know I will need that. So,
now or in the future?
Now.
Okay, so you need the money now. You're not looking to invest it.
Yes.
You want to be able to pull it out.
I do, but right now, like I said, even if I put it away somewhere, what age can I mean...
Well, you can take it out right now. There's no penalty. It would be taxable to you, so every withdrawal you take is going to be added to your taxable income in the year you withdraw it. So how much do you have in this 401k right now?
I would say maybe 30, close to 40.
40,000. Okay. And so are you looking to take the full 40,000 out in the year 2024, or are you wanting to spread it out over time?
I really do want to take some out and put it on the side where I could use it, and then some that I put it somewhere.
Okay. So it just really is going to come down to what you want to do with it. So how much of the 40,000 do you think you want to pull out and use in this year?
Maybe 10.
10,000. And for the 30,000 roughly that remains, over what time period do you feel like that would get used? Is that money you'd want to park for 10 years or more? Or do you feel like it'll be used up all 30,000 in the next, let's say, 3 to 5 years?
Well, I put it this way. I want to leave it there and let God, you know, I trust that God that will, whatever, if he wants me to, you know, leave 10 years, then let it be.
Okay. All right. So what I think you'd want to do is you need to find somebody who can work with you to select the investment that you would put it in. I think the question is, if you believe you're going to need to use this money in less than 10 years, I'd probably just roll it to a bank, into an IRA, take what you need this year, the 10,000, make sure you're ready for the taxes on that, probably plan on maybe 20%. So maybe if, you know, you take 12,000 instead of 10, and so you're ready to pay that tax bill. And then, you know, with the rest, maybe they can help you at the bank find a high-quality bond mutual fund that you can park it in. Hopefully you don't need it, but if you do, then it's there for you and you're not taking a lot of risk. So hopefully that helps you. I would check with your bank. They should be able to direct you on getting that rolled over, Estelinda. Thanks for your call today. Big thanks to my team today. Autumn doing a great job on our phones. Devin, my producer, and of course, Jim Henry providing great research. Come back and join us tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.